Hi, it's Lucy and welcome back to a bonus episode of the Real Girls Club. In today's episode, I'm joined by the lovely Catherine Hardwick. Catherine is an American screenwriter, director and production designer, most known for her films such as 13 and, of course, Twilight. In this short but sweet 15-minute interview with Catherine, we talk about her inspiration for making 13, how she brought her own creative vision when making Twilight, and advice for future filmmakers. Thank you for listening and I really hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast today. Really appreciate that you managed to fit me into your very busy schedule as well.
Thank you. Where are you right now? Where's that accent from?
Well, I'm Scottish. I grew up in Glasgow in Scotland, but I live in France actually, so I'm not in Scotland right now. I believe you're in Los Angeles, very glamorous.
Yes, and I've just done like half the country in the US has done watch that Scottish show by the Scottish actor, you know, the Baby Reindeer. Number one show on Netflix right now. Yeah,
I've been told to watch it. It's on my list. I'm like, everyone's talking about it at the moment. So it's a Scottish TV show then.
Well, I mean, he's Scottish, the writer and creator. So he's speaking in, you know, his accent. And okay. we go to Edinburgh.
I find it hard to say Edinburgh as well. Trust me.
Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's not really a Scottish show. It's set in London, but, you know, we got the Scottish flavour in there.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, hopefully my accent won't be too strong for you if you find me speaking too fast at all. Tell me to slow down. But yeah, you're in sunny LA, I assume. Where I am, the weather's not so great. But anyway, yeah, I won't talk about the weather because we haven't got loads of time. So I will just get straight into it and start by asking you, what inspired you to pursue a career in filmmaking?
Well, actually, I was first an architect. So I went to architecture school when I was 17, University of Texas, loved it, 5-year professional degree. And I actually got to build quite a few buildings. But people told me, because I used to dress up like my buildings and did all this stuff, they said, one professor said, you're really too creative in a weird way to be in architecture because people like their buildings to look like other buildings and they have to follow the building codes and there's resale values. So that he told me you should pick something else. Now, at that time, I thought that film encouraged creativity, but I did not know about sequels and, you know, IP and all that. So in some ways, you know, you kind of have to fight to do something original and creative. But I came out to UCLA grad school in film and I just loved it. I had many fun stories inspired by lots of great films. And so I'm just like, yeah, I fell in love with it. And I found it translated from architecture because in architecture, you have a piece of land with nothing on it sometimes. And then you're going to build something from scratch. Same thing.
Like a blank page of a script.
A blank page that you have to create a whole world.
Can you tell me about a moment in your career where you felt like completely out of your element and how did you navigate through that?
Yes, many times. I'm from a little tiny town in South Texas and my dad's a farmer. My mom's a school teacher. So I really was not used to the Hollywood world. And one of my jobs when I first came out, I was a production designer.
Yes.
Suddenly I got a job on Vanilla Sky. That's a Tom Cruise movie. After, you know, I mean, I had done other movies. I had worked my way up to this, but Tom Cruise did like
right this. Right in at the deep end.
Yes, an amazing set. He goes, you've been to Rupert Murdoch's house. You've been on his yacht. I want my set to be better than that, more stylish. I'm thinking, dude, do you know that I'm from, my dad's a farmer. I've never been on Rupert Murdoch's yacht. I did not know what that looks like. And so I was just kind of like, oh my God, I'm a fraud. You know, I'm an imposter syndrome. I just took a deep breath and said, okay, you are trained as an architect. You can create a fabulous design and just Don't say anything. Just keep smiling to Tom and just do it, you know. On your
fake it till you
girl.
make it, or just sort of fake the confidence more than anything, you know.
And just start doing it. The more I started creating, the more ideas I got, I made something cool, you know.
So, what would you say is your creative process when working on a film adaptation like Twilight or an original screenplay like 13?
Okay, both of them were very different. Which do you want to go first, or which one?
I guess what came first, which was 13, so yeah.
So in that case, you know, it was really born out of necessity. My family friend, Nikki, and her parents and her brother, they were all suffering a lot because she had just turned dark and negative. So I was trying to give her something positive. Let's go learn how to surf. Let's draw. No, that's what I wanted to do. She said what she wanted to do was act. There weren't really any great parts for her. So I said, why don't we write our own script and you're going to star in it and I'm going to direct it. And you know, we thought it would be a teen comedy. So I said, but it's got to be grounded. It's got to be real. So I went and taught, like guest taught at her school, you know, her junior high. And then all of her friends would come over all the time and, you know, have little slumber parties and surf parties. So I was just watching everything. So basically, I saw the struggle she was going through, and we just started writing something. We wrote it by trying to keep it grounded and real. That's how it turned away from a comedy into something pretty. And we fit out every scene. Like I would play her mother, I'd play her friend, she'd play herself. So we wrote standing up, just acting out around, yeah.
Improvisation.
Exactly. And then we would type it up. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I rewatched 13 the other day for this interview, and it's a lot darker than I remember it when I first watched it. So maybe I think that's something in my own age as well that's changed, and my ability to see what I didn't see before. And you know, you really tackle quite a lot of heavy issues there with like mental health and self-harm. So yeah, was there something that attracted you in particular to this sort of story? Because it's such a great depiction, I think, of what it's, you know, what it can be like to be a teenage girl.
Right. Well, what attracted me was just literally my friend, Nikki, and her mom, all the struggles they were going through. They were both friends of mine. I wanted to be helpful. You know, I wanted to try to help her get out of that or have a different perspective on her life. So as I did that, I started really like looking at this world more closely, what teenage girls were going through. Some of them, not everybody, you know, not all at the same time either. But yeah, and then Nikki had a special case because she was really beautiful. So that attracted a certain extra level of attention that she had to deal with too, you know. So it was very particular to her story.
And as for Twilight, then?
Oh, so Twilight, you know, I got a they sent me a bunch of this company sent me a bunch of scripts and said, are you interested? We're starting to make original films. Summit said this. So if you like any of these five scripts, well, I read all of them, threw them all in the trash. But then something about the vampire one stuck in my head. I said, I bet it's based on a book. I went to a bookstore when there were still bookstores, and I read the book, and I thought, so I said, I want to take a meeting on it. But right when I walked into the room, the meeting, I said, this script has to go in the trash because, and we have to start over and make it more close to the heart of the book because they had Bella as a track star, not an awkward girl. They had Bella on a jet ski at the end being chased by the FBI. I'm like, no, this has nothing to do with why people love this book. You know, it's that yearning, that desire, that, you know, wanting this perfect love, even with the bad boy, you know, all these great. And so I just wanted to see if I could translate that kind of ecstatic feeling about being in love. Can I translate that to a movie? And I thought that would be a really cool challenge to make people feel in the theater what they felt in the book.
Well, I have to say you succeeded, and I think my 15-year-old self would be pinching herself today if she knew she was talking to the woman that directed Twilight. It's almost like I think I still can't quite realize it. But yeah, it was one like I wasn't a Harry Potter girl, I was very much a Twilight girl, so that's really cool for me. I guess from your experience and your career, what advice would you like to give to aspiring female filmmakers like yourself looking to break into the industry?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So I think, for some people, film school is great. They learn a lot, they make a lot of great connections, they have great equipment, and it's really helpful. And the structure helps that you have a due date, you got to make your short film, you got to write your film. So that can be a great pathway. And then if that doesn't seem right for a person, they can kind of create their own film school where they go and volunteer to work, even if it's a PA, a costume department, whatever, in on a bunch of other people's films, and they can be watching what worked, what didn't work. They can be writing their own films, they can be making their own films and posting them on YouTube and seeing what the comments are, so that the next one they do can be better and better. And there's just so much material out there where they can learn about cinematography, go online, listen, master classes, all kinds of behind the scenes, all kinds of great books. So there's just every way that you can do to keep advancing your craft, your game, getting better at what you're doing, making things, working on other people's projects. There's a lot of ways, I think, to
Yeah,
do
there's as someone who's achieved so much in the film industry, I think many may wonder about your thoughts on the future. So what projects are you currently excited about, and what stories do you hope to explore in the future? Or do you see yourself stepping away from filmmaking, and what are you currently doing at the moment? What are your projects right now?
Well, right
That was
now,
100
like,
questions in one.
okay. Well, right now, like on my wall, there's
Wow.
projects that I'm like working on, trying to get going. And so usually everybody has to have a couple, two, three, four, five, six, seven things that you're trying to grow into a real movie. And you're trying to research them more. You're trying to do a script reading. You're trying to get an actor excited, trying to get a financier excited. So, I'm like most other directors, we have to have multiple projects. One is a thriller in Greece, where we have different actors excited about. One is close to 13 and Lords of Dogtown, of kids that live on the street here in Venice. It's really cool that I wrote with another writing partner. Another one is a story of Diane Warren. She what is the almost one of the biggest female songwriters, been nominated 15 times for best original song for Academy Award, including this year. So it's her childhood story where she had so many obstacles, bullied, sexually abused, but somehow she triumphed over all the obstacles. So I'm interested in, stories about women that are overcoming obstacles or doing something original or interesting. So,
So no signs of stopping anytime soon, though. That's good to hear, though. It's exciting. And I think you always want to be doing something, though, don't you? Like there's always some, like you just said, there's always a story to discover or another story to tell. So last question, we do have a bit of a minute to go.
So, like when I talked about the Scottish thing, so you can ask one or two more if you want.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Because honestly, I have enough questions probably for an hour, but or I could spend a whole hour just talking about Twilight, but I won't do that. On a film set, collaboration is really essential. So how do you cultivate like a supportive and a creative atmosphere on set while maintaining like a strong sense of leadership?
Well, I mean, I think one of the main things we sort of touched on, the director has to have passion for the project and hopefully understand why you're telling the story. And that passion, that energy, that enthusiasm,
Definitely.
you hopefully translates to the other crew members and gets the costume designer excited about getting the clothes right, getting the production designer excited about making the set feel authentic to the character. The stunts, if you have action, get the stunt coordinator excited. What can we do that we've never seen before? That kind of thing. So hopefully your enthusiasm, your own work ethic as a director, that they see you working hard, not just telling them to go work hard with the actors. You want to inspire them. You want to be there in the moment with, you want to have thought about their backstory and why they're feeling this way. What are their goals? What are their intentions? What do they want? And hopefully we've taken our acting directors take acting classes. We understand what it feels like to be in that pressure position of having to act, cue with 100 people watching or whatever. So you're just, all those things. I think when somebody sees the director working hard and caring about every detail, makes them try harder to, put their love and attention into each detail.
Yeah, it feeds through to like the whole everyone else on set. And lastly, what are your thoughts on the progress made in the representation of women in cinema since the start of your career? And what do you think are like the pressing issues that still need to be, solved?
Well, it's interesting because apparently the latest surveys showed that we've kind of gone backwards a little bit in the film world, that there's less movies directed by women in the top 250, or there's just not as much, there's less leading actress roles for women, leading roles than there were a couple years ago. So of course we've had, beautiful successes like Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman, Greta Gerwig with Barbie, Saltburn, like really cool projects out there. But those are the big ones that really stand out. And then there's a multitude of
Oh, I
other
know there's
ones
tons.
that are just so difficult to, get made. And even when they get made and they're a moving story about a woman, how do you get the marketing people behind it to put the movie out there and let people know about it? Get into the theater so you can make another one. So we still have, I think, almost all of those challenges. Though you can still, even right after Twilight came out, I still had a challenge to get movies made because they said, oh, that was just successful because of the book. And then for, Barbie could just, oh, that was just successful because if you try to use Barbie as a reason to make your movie, that was successful because Mattel and Barbie is a doll. So there's always kind of a reason why it'll never happen again. But we still have to keep trying. And I think there are a lot more people that are supporting. Just came from a women's film festival. There's patrons that are trying to help young female writers and directors. So, I think it's hopeful.
Exactly. I mean, like you said about Barbie or Wonder Woman, for example, I mean, these things aren't just flukes, I mean, the people worked hard on them and they're successful for a reason, not just because of, like you said, because it was a book or because it was linked to Mattel, for example. It's because we've got talented directors and interesting stories that people do want to see and hear. Well,
Yeah.
thank you so much. I've run over your time, so
Oh,
I really
no.
appreciate it. And I would have loved to talk to you even more, but I'll just go and watch your other interviews and hopefully that's answered all my questions too.
Great questions. Thank you.
Thank you very
Okay.
much. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It was a real pleasure to be able to speak with Catherine, even if it was only for a really short time. I just feel like she has this infectious enthusiasm for her work, and it really inspired me, and I really hope the episode inspired you too in some way. I'll be back again in July for season 3 of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot, and I'd love it if you could go and follow me at Real Girls Club on Instagram, give the podcast a little star rating, or share it with anyone that you think might like it, and I really hope you have a lovely day.